Up next, listen to the future of the internet with WebTalk and hear the latest news and trends keeping those electronic circuits and broadband connections buzzing.
This week, we talk about the Summer Olympics online. We look at Service Pack 2 for the XP. We find out how Volvo goes Hollywood to sell cars. And we'll delve into Mastering Internet Video with author Damian Stollers.
Stay connected. WebTalk is coming up next.
WebTalk Radio is brought to you by Web.com, the most trusted name on the net. When you're ready to get on the web, visit Web.com for domain names as low as $4.95. Web.com offers full-featured web hosting, including online store packages, starting at only $7.95 per month. Web.com has thousands of .web.com names available at www.web.com.
You're connected and streaming WebTalk at webtalkradio.com. And my name is Rob Greenlee, and thank you for listening to us again this week. We've been producing shows for a very long time. I think it's about 5 years now. And we like to keep you plugged into what's happening on the net. And we also like to talk about some of the coolest internet-connected devices and software out there.
I missed you. I'm Dana Greenlee. I missed you guys this week. I really enjoy our show every week, and it's not the same when you're not here. Not around. Not crowding in my little office space. Thanks for being here.
Well, Dana, you're there for me this week again. I appreciate that.
You know, I'm just like a little growth on you, Rob.
No.
I'm not going anywhere.
We don't go anywhere, do we? We just stay plugged into the net all the time.
All right. Well, if you guys hang with us just a little bit longer, the topics you're going to hear about this week.
Windows XP gets a Service Pack 2 upgrade, and it's coming fast to your PC.
Speaking of little growths, the internet's growing influence.
Web attendance to the biggest ever Summer Olympics.
Volvo goes Hollywood to sell cars.
So as we look out into the future of the internet, one use really stands out as we get faster broadband connections, and it's internet video, and it will take over email as the ultimate killer application for the net. Today, the making of digital video that is usable online is still a very complex process and confusing to most. Later on the show, we're going to be joined by Damian Stollers, who's the author of a new book called Mastering Internet Video, and he's going to share his tips and trends on how we can all use internet video more on our computers.
You know, Windows Media 9, is it really better than MPEG 4? It's DVD standardizing it. What does it all mean? You know, without a little bit of background, it's going to be hard except to ask some pundit, and the pundit will say, I think Windows Media 9, and the other pundit will say MPEG 4. Well, how do you answer that question? Well, through understanding.
A few interesting things I found out on the net this week. Let's share some. And one of them is, well, this is a big week. We've been waiting for Microsoft to come up with this new service pack patch. And guess what?
Well, it's about to be released this week. So I'm sure everybody that's got Windows XP that they're running on their PCs or get a little notification that they can upgrade. Now, this is a huge upgrade to Windows XP.
Huge in a couple of ways.
Well, it's physically huge, too. It's about 80 megabytes. And it's going to change your experience with your computer. With your XP.
Yeah, Robert Scoble, who's been on our show before, is actually the official blogger for Microsoft. He's a Microsoft employee, but he has that unique position that he's able to just speak the truth. You know, he doesn't have to toe the company line. And if you go to his blog at scoble.weblogs.com, you'll be able to leave your own testimonial on how your experience with your Windows XP changed from before the patch to after the patch. And you'll read other people's experiences, too.
Yeah, so go check out his site. It's at scoble.weblogs.com, and that's scoble.weblogs.com.
Well, Rob, this is some news from Pew Internet and American Life, which we actually all know, and it's how much the internet is playing a major role in people's lives. So Pew told us that of the people that actually use the internet, 88% say it plays a part in their lives.
And about one-third of those also say that it plays a major role in their lives. So the web is having more of an impact on more people all the time, and nearly two-thirds of online users say that they're their daily doings would be affected if they couldn't log on.
This last little bit of information from Pew, I didn't know what it meant at first. Let me just read it. More than half say they more frequently participate in popular activities because they're able to do them online. I was like scratching my head.
Yeah,
and
what's a popular activity online that people like to do?
I immediately thought of sex.
Well, of course.
You know, more people participate in this sexual activity online because they can do it online. Yeah.
And they can get away with being anonymous in that process.
That's just my own speculation.
Oh,
guys.
Yeah, that's right. One big thing that's happening on the web this week is the Summer Olympics that are going on in Athens, Greece. And this is going to be one of the biggest Summer Olympics for the web. There's no question. There's going to be probably more people attending the Summer Olympics off their websites than is going to be in person, because I've heard is there's very few people that are actually physically attending this event anymore. And who knows, you know, over the years, the Olympics may be something that just happens online. Who knows?
Well, let's just share some of those big sites. Let me give the first two, NBCOlympics.com. When you're in America, you know NBC has the exclusive broadcast rights for the Olympics, but this is just America. And so, of course, their site's pretty big. And also, the official site is Athens2004.com.
And also, if you are a fan of the U.S. Olympic team, you can go to usolympicteam.com. And another site that is really kind of fascinating out there too, and it relates back to all the security that's coming down in Athens right now, is the NATO site. If you go to nato.int, and you can kind of read up on all of the security things that they've had to add to the event this year to make it a secure event with all the terrorism out there.
It's nice as the embassyolympics.com website gave us some interesting numbers, and I just thought we'd share some of that with you. Their site is going to have 750 million page views, they're predicting, over that time period, and 20 million unique visitors. But Rob, share some of the, the hardware that's going to be supporting that website.
Well, they're going to have about 10,500 computers at Athens at the Olympics this year and about 900 servers. So there's a significant amount of technology being applied to this event this year. And the other fascinating one here is how many fax machines there are going to be there. And that's kind of old technology, but they're going to have 2,000 fax machines.
Fax machines and copiers.
You
know, I think is the interesting part of it is sort of the, all that sort of digital rights, what you can and cannot show on the web versus on TV, country by country. And just briefly, you know, will it be streaming live or will it be time delayed? Well, in America, because NBC has the broadcast rights, they will not stream anything live on the internet. It'll all be time delayed till after it's shown live on TV because they want to drive people to the TV. That's not the case in other countries, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. And this particular Olympics is the first event that's going to be offering live streaming video on the internet. And there's going to be 12 broadcasters that are going to be making live streams available. But most of those streams are coming into Europe and some of the Scandinavian countries and in Britain. Actually, the Brits are actually going to be having about 5 live video streams that are going to be available online. But just like what Dana's saying, we can't get it here in America, though, because NBC has too much of a lock on the coverage. But the coverage that will be available will always be after it's broadcast. So,
an interesting side note, Norway's NRK kind of got into trouble with the IOC, that's the Olympic Committee, because back in the Sydney Olympics, they were running clips from the Olympics without permission of the IOC. That's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they're also going to be carrying live channels. So I guess a kiss and made up.
But in 2010 and 2012, the streaming rights were included in the packages that were offered to the media. So I think we're going to see this really come to a mainstream aspect of where all of the event is covered as a streaming broadcast right there along with TV. And who knows, over time, it's all going to be off of streaming media eventually.
I found it interesting, and of course, I'm learning this before the Olympics have actually started, so by the time you're hearing this, we'll find out if it's true or not, but NBCOlympics.com will let you see these time-delayed streams for free, but there's a caveat, and it's important to note that Visa, the credit card Visa, is the sponsor, not MasterCard.
Oh,
so
yeah.
What you have to do to be able to watch this, and it's free, is that you have to verify your identity with a Visa credit card on the website for U.S. residents, and if you have a MasterCard, it's not going to work, you're not going to be able to use the service. Interesting.
Yeah, that's a little promo plug, I think, more for Visa than MasterCard, obviously.
You know, I have to say, this whole show is about, it seems to be about internet video. Well, you know, we love it. I personally do enjoy making videos and also watching them. So not only are we going to have a talk with Damien about the internet, mastering internet video, but another interesting story came to my mind. It's actually a wonderful use of advertising blending in with video and using the web to convey an advertising message. And this is with Volvo, the car manufacturer. And you guys remember BMW films, same sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. That's some really cool films.
And this actually came out back in, I think it was May, but I'm just discovering it at the Volvo Cars website. You can watch a great 12-minute little filmlet. I think somebody calls it Nanotainment.
Nanotainment. It's an online filmlet.
Now, it stars Robert Downey Jr., many of them. And you just have to watch it to know what I'm talking about. Stephen Frears is the director. It's very surreal, existential. Downey's traveling to a place called Confidence. And it basically is just him and the car. And I just really recommend you go to our website. We'll have a link to it. And if you can remember this, you can always go to volvocars.co.uk and then just search around for their showroom. It's a much longer direct address, but you'll probably find it right from that main site.
Yeah, it's safe to say if you're a Robert Downey Jr. fan, you're going to like this movie because it has lots of Robert Downey Jr. in it and multiple Robert Downey Jr.'s. Well, Dana, we've got a new sponsor this week that's on board with us, and it's the Anonymizer folks, and they have a software program, a package software of three great software solutions that basically will clean up any of your hidden spyware problems that you have. Maybe you've got spam problems. You basically want to keep yourself invisible on the net because you want to be anonymous. People like to do things online that they like to keep their anonymity.
Oh, that's the name, Anonymizer.
Anonymizer, yeah. What this software does is it protects your identity online, and being a listener to the show basically has allowed you to qualify for a $40 discount on this package of three software programs. It's about a $90 value. Just go to getprivatenow.com and enter my name, Rob, and you can get the whole kit for $49.95. So go check it out at getprivatenow.com and enter my first name.
Another new sponsor we have this week is thedietchannel.com. It's quite an extensive site, just lots of information about articles on diets, about 600 of them. They review the various diets that are out there, the hot ones you hear about on TV. So go check out thedietchannel.com.
And we're also supported by Serenade Audio. And WebTalk is available through Serenade Audio software, and it enables you to schedule and automatically download WebTalk Radio, NPR, Ken Radio, and about 300 other top talk, sports, and entertainment radio programs right to your MP3 player through your PC. So go check them out at serenadesystems.com/WebTalk.
Web.com, as always, is a good friend of WebTalk Radio. They are the most trusted name on the net. They're a place where you can go buy domain names for as little as $4.95. They also do web hosting, full-featured web hosting, as low as $7.95 a month. And you can get just about any web domain that you want because they also sell .web.com names.
And we're also supported by InfoCreek.com. They're a low-cost web design firm that really builds cool-looking high-tech websites. So go check them out at InfoCreek.com.
Well, stay connected if you like the internet video topics we've covered so far. You're going to love Damien Stollers. He's the author of Mastering Internet Video, just out this month. He'll share his tips and his thoughts and his prognostications about the future use of internet video. You don't want to miss it.
This is Web Talk Radio. You have probably heard about the three big online threats we face every day when online. They're talked about on the news all the time and on Web Talk, like unknown spyware and adware that may invade your PC. Spyware tracks your keystrokes and harvests passwords and sends this info to criminals all over the world. The other two are online identity theft and spam. But have you actually done something about these vulnerabilities on your PC? I am very excited to tell you about a sponsor offer that is for Web Talk listeners only. A very special package that cannot be beat that will keep your PC safe and secure. You may have heard about the folks at Anonymizer Software, and they are offering a three-pack software bundle that includes Anonymizer 2004, Anonymizer Spyware Killer, and MailShell Anti-Spam Desktop. And that is a complete and total privacy solution and will clean up any and all of your hidden problems and make your computer invisible on the net. Being a listener to the show, and thanks to the folks at Anonymizer, you qualify for a $40 discount on the $90 software package and get the complete Anonymizer bundle for only $49.95. All you have to do to get the discount is visit getprivatenow.com and enter my first name, Rob. And that is getprivatenow.com and just enter my first name.
It's all about convenience. Serenade Audio is a revolutionary new service that's redefining the MP3 player listening experience, allowing you to listen to what you want, when you want, anytime, anywhere, at your convenience. With Serenade Audio, you can download Web Talk Guys, plus over 300 news, talk, sports, and entertainment programs are available as well, and they can all be downloaded to your MP3 player with just one click. Easy and convenient. Now, for a limited time, when you sign up for Serenade Audio, you'll receive over 100 music channels for your PC absolutely free. To learn more, visit Serenade Audio on the web at serenadesystems.com/webtalk.
Dude, check it out. Listen to Web Talk, totally for sure. Your old man's not here.
You're back with Web Talk at webtalkradio.com, and my name is Rob Greenlee, and Dana Greenlee is in here also.
As we look out into the future and how we're going to use the internet, one use really stands out because broadband's getting a lot faster and we are able to connect to good old internet video. I'm thinking it might even overtake email as the ultimate killer use of the internet. Now, today, making anything with a digital video is pretty difficult. It's a complex process and it can be confusing to some people.
On the line right now, we are joined by Damian Stolarz, who's the author of a new book called Mastering Internet Video, and he's going to share some of the trends he is seeing and offer some tips on how we can all make and use internet video more in our lives to communicate more and to expand our creative energies. Damian, it's terrific to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Rob.
What motivated you to write your new book here?
Well, it's actually been a work in progress for several years, and I originally started thinking about this book when I had been the CTO for about 6 years at a internet startup, and after 6 years, we weren't really a startup anymore, but we had switched business plans, and we were looking for a couple of years at internet video, and one of the things that happened was I had a staff of about, at the max, I think we had about 50 people at that company, and I had 25 engineers who I needed to get up to speed on video. We had been doing peer-to-peer technologies, and we were looking at this opportunity to do peer-to-peer video streaming live. Well, the problem is all these engineers didn't know anything about video, or they knew a little bit, or they're like, oh, I've downloaded some stuff, and I had to bring them all up to speed in various ways. Some of them knew more than I did already, but most of them new internet networking, this, that, or the other. So I guess the initial attempts of mine to bring them into the fold to educate them showed me how wide an amount of data there was to be mastered, and specifically then, of course, it's the fill a need thing. None of the books out there really did it.
Yeah, it certainly seems like that the whole online video thing can be a very confusing thing for a lot of people, even the people that are trying to create content and people trying to watch it. And is that really what was the driver behind the book? Was, you know, just like what you said, working with your own people, but trying to make the process a little bit more understandable?
Absolutely. And it wasn't just the technology people. There were people, the executives, the marketing people, the sales staff at my company, all by the end of their tenure there got a great education in internet video and they're able to talk, you know, expertly about it. But it is possible what would tend to happen is you would always have to go to your expert, and even venture capitalists, I mentioned that, you know, part of it is aimed at VCs, would have to talk to their resident expert on blah, 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 and say, translate this for me. What is this? Is this cool? Is this junk? What I wanted to do was sort of come up with almost a coffee table book that you read it cover to cover, and you go, ah, okay, now I can make a decision. I'm going to spend my dollars here. So it wouldn't just be, okay, here's how you click the wizards for this one particular program.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I ran into is most of the books were either partisan, where they're like, this is the real book, this is the QuickTime book, this is the Windows book.
Exactly, and you get this huge library of books in your cabinet, and you can't really get to them all, I'm sure.
Right, and there's no Rosetta Stone to translate between them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you don't know whether Instant On or Fast Start or they're the same thing, and, you know, what's this and what's that and how do they compare?
This book isn't really a nuts and bolts thing from a standpoint of actually teaching you what button to push in the software. It's kind of at a higher level view.
Yeah, it's a higher and lower, if that makes any sense. What, like you mentioned a teacher earlier, my approach was to bring somebody totally up to speed. So instead of having the book say, here's what you should do, mm-hmm. we give you all the theory on it and the practical, and then you go, oh, I know what I need to do for my particular situation. I can't possibly fill a book. You know, I'd have to have a 2,000-page book to anticipate every question and every answer.
Yeah.
My approach was always, if you just boil it down and you take away the mystery, there's two problems. There's things that are the same that have different names depending on the company, so you don't know they're the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then vice versa, things that aren't the same, that they all sound the same. Mm-hmm. And by differentiating, basically getting rid of all the homonyms and then finding all the synonyms that really are the same things, when you come out of it, you go, you're not so wowed. When somebody comes up with a new piece of technology, you're not like, oh my gosh, this is going to revolutionize video. You can put it, you sort of have somewhere to sort it in your head, mm-hmm. and you go, okay, this is just a slight improvement to, you know, Windows Media 9. Is it really better than MPEG-4? It's DVD standardizing it. What does it all mean?
Yeah.
Well, you know, without a little bit of background, it's going to be hard except to ask some pundit, and the pundit will say, I think Windows Media 9, and the other pundit will say MPEG-4. Well, how do you answer that question?
Mm-hmm.
Well, through understanding.
So one of the biggest challenges, like you've kind of alluded to, is just all those formats that are, I know, because I'm starting to play around with the, you know, internet video and trying to edit and stuff, and you've got the AVIs and, you know, the MPEG-4s, like you mentioned. What do you think is the most confusing aspect of video that you'd like to maybe clear right now?
Sure. One of the things I spend a long time doing is differentiating between what's inside and what the name of the box is.
Mm-hmm.
For AVI, MOV, WMV, RM, MPEG-2, MPEG-4, you actually have two concepts there. You have the thing that holds the stuff, and you have the stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
A Word document, it kind of becomes synonymous, because if you have a .doc, well, it's both a document that's opened by Microsoft Word, but if you open it up, there's words inside,
mm-hmm.
right? So you get that concept. Excel, so you're used to these, the holder and the stuff inside being married.
Mm-hmm.
But in actual fact, in order to get an understanding, you realize they're not the same. And so you could have MPEG-4, right, which is a way of, which means a lot of things. But if you just say, okay, I mean the MPEG-4 compressor for video, well, you could store MPEG-4 in AVI, mm-hmm. MOV, WMV, RM, MPEG-2, or MPEG-4.
Yeah.
So now you look at it and you go, oh. So when someone comes up and says, how do I play in AVI, you realize it's a completely ambiguous question because that's like, you know, it's not really the AVI you're playing, it's what's inside. So I spend, the way I differentiate that is I just take a whole chapter and I say, this is storage format,
mm-hmm.
and I clear them all up very understandably with like copious pictures, 2 or 3 pictures to a page sometimes.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, the book.
Oh, it's terrific, yeah.
The book has, I think, over 300 illustrations, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure, because we spent forever. And we just, I tried to make it, I like books where you can pick them up and you can just read. And you don't just stick on one page and you're like, whoa, I need to take a break from that book. I wanted to make one of those books that's, like I said, a coffee table book. You pick it up and you just keep thumbing through it. And you're like, you just learn by turning the pages. You don't have to sit there and study the book like you're in school or something.
Mm-hmm.
Although I could see this as a textbook,
people
too.
Love pictures, though. People love to visualize this.
Yeah.
And it still seems like standards are not really coming really forward very fast in the whole media space online. It seems that the big budget and the big corporation battles are still going on with these formats in the Windows Media, the Reel, the Apple formats, the MPEGs, which is even more confusing, I think, to a lot of people. I think it's probably one of the most misunderstood codecs out there, I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What do you see that happening?
I didn't understand MPEG until I was 3/4 through the book.
Well, and frankly, to this day, I don't think I understand exactly how all this stuff works because it works with audio and video, but it's not really separated in that way necessarily. And there's like two separate files. I mean, you know, it's an extremely confusing thing.
It's terribly confusing. Did you know that Apple's AAC is part of MPEG-4?
No, I didn't know that, but
okay,
thanks
for
educating
me. Okay, that's MPEG-4 audio.
Yeah.
You didn't know that. That came out of MPEG-2 and then is MPEG-4, but it's marked – exactly. It's all over the place.
Yeah. Is this ever going to get easier, you think? I mean, is it going to get pulled together and maybe there's two standards maybe at some point?
Right. We're getting close. And that's one of the things I do in the book is I'll do very human-readable anecdotes or metaphors that have nothing to do with video standards, and I just, you know, it's kind of like, imagine if you bought a toaster in Las Vegas,
yeah,
and you sent it to your wedded couple friends in L.A., and they said, oh, we can't use this toaster. It's different plug here.
Yeah.
You'd think that was absurd.
Yeah.
Well, that's how video is. Or the analogy I used is, you know, imagine if you had to buy a different TV for HBO, and you had to buy another TV for Nickelodeon, and you had to buy another TV. You see what I'm saying? That's the current state of the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they use MPEG-4, it's not necessarily compatible. For instance, Microsoft has MPEG-4 in their system, mm-hmm, but it's within their proprietary format.
Yeah.
So it might as well not be called MPEG-4 because it just confuses the issue more.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, 10 things called MPEG-4 could not be compatible because it's all, you know, it's MPEG-4, and then there's this big grid of, well, how powerful an MPEG-4 and how big or small an MPEG-4, roughly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it cell phone MPEG-4? Is it, you know, TV,
yeah,
MPEG-4? But here's some hope on the standards front. MPEG-2, you know, started before the internet. So for all us internet era people, mm-hmm, it's like, well, we don't know. But it did incredibly well. They worked it out, and DVDs are everywhere. And HD is coming around the corner, so you know high definition is going to be a driver for this.
Mm-hmm.
And something is going to get standardized. And what it looks like is happening is that everybody is basically taking the whatever standards, if there's three standards, then people are just putting all three standards in their box.
Mm-hmm.
DVD players cost $40, $35 at Walmart right now, and they currently... It's currently the cheaper DVD players are more powerful than the expensive ones because the cheaper ones actually contain all the different, they'll play Windows Media, they'll play what have you. So Windows,
mm-hmm,
Media, if you look at it, has actually been a de facto standard for a couple years.
Yeah.
Because all the guys who put movies up on the internet who were trading around their movies and stuff like that, not to talk about a bad subject, but movie trading,
yeah,
was done either with the DivX, which is an MPEG-4,
mm-hmm,
or was done with Windows Media.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, your Taiwanese, your Korean manufacturers went, you know, we're not into the politics of it. We'll put a Windows Media decoder. We'll put an MPEG-4 decoder. We,
mm-hmm,
don't care.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have these DVD players that play just about everything in video CD. So I think the answer to your standards is yes, it is going to get easier because the reason several years ago people were so focused on these standards is because you couldn't just download a piece of software. Now it's getting a little safer because,
yeah,
A, they're shaking out the pricing so,
mm-hmm,
that the pricing will be known. It'll be a known quantity.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondarily, it takes with the current, like I think one of the recent Palm Pilots has a 600 megahertz processor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's enough. You can just give it a software decoder.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So once again, yeah, I think you mentioned your interest in the Moore's Law of it all. Once all,
yeah,
the computers can be retrained to play everything, then the standards battle would become more moot to some degree because everything could play everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it is also shaking down to basically the big two. It looks like a Microsoft versus MPEG-4 kind of battle, and they're going to coexist on most of the platforms that I see.
Yeah, I see that as probably a good outcome. I mean, certainly Windows Media is strong in some areas and they're weak in others, but the MPEG format's probably on the other side. It seems like that the compression that they have is good too, but we shall see how it sorts out. But
yeah, absolutely.
It sounds like in the end the consumer is going to win probably, or the viewer, because all these devices are going to be capable of viewing everything.
That's my, as a technologist looking forward, that's my take on it, is the devices are tending not to care.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically they're learning to talk everything, and so they're not beholden. Whereas 8 years ago, you had to pick your standard because it had to be in a chip to even decode the video. It had to be hardware, which means it had to, once your Palm Pilot was shipped, whatever MPEG-4 or Windows Media codec it had, that was what it had to stick with.
Mm-hmm.
Now it can go through software.
We're in the middle of a conversation with Damian Stolarz. He's the author of the book Mastering Internet Video. More with Damian in a moment. You're listening to Web Talk Radio.
Hi. Hi, this is Rob Greenlee of Web Talk Radio. I've got a tip for you. If you're looking to register a new domain name or get a new website hosted, then support the Web Talk Radio show by visiting web.com. They have been a trusted name on the web for years and have had over 300,000 customers over the years. They specialize in domain name registrations and hosting, but they have a domain name registration as low as $4.95 per year, and that's for a yourname.web.com domain name. And they also have regular .com domain names for $6.95 per year. Web.com was recently ranked number one by tophost.com and CNET certified as being a top web hosting provider. Their hosting plans are as low as $7.95 per month, and that's even for an online e-commerce solution. So trust me, web.com is a great place to get your solution, and you can give them a call at 1-800-761-2468. That's 1-800-761-2468, or just visit them right on their website at web.com. You have probably heard about the three big online threats we face every day when online. They're talked about on the news all the time and on Web Talk, like unknown spyware and adware that may invade your PC. Spyware tracks your keystrokes and harvests passwords and sends this info to criminals all over the world. The other two are online identity theft and spam. But have you actually done something about these vulnerabilities on your PC? I'm very excited to tell you about a sponsor offer that is for Web Talk listeners only. A very special package that cannot be beat that will keep your PC safe and secure. You may have heard about the folks at Anonymizer Software, and they are offering a three-pack software bundle that includes Anonymizer 2004, Anonymizer Spyware Killer, and MailShell Anti-Spam Desktop. And that is a complete and total privacy solution and will clean up any and all of your hidden problems and make your computer invisible on the net. Being a listener to the show, and thanks to the folks at Anonymizer, you qualify for a $40 discount on the $90 software package and get the complete Anonymizer bundle for only $49.95. All you have to do to get the discount is visit getprivatenow.com and enter my first name, Rob. And that is getprivatenow.com and just enter my first name.
The Web Talk Guys. The audio download begins now.
I'm Rob Greenlee, and this is Web Talk Radio at webtalkradio.com. Dana Greenlee is in here with me, too.
And still with us on the telephone is Damian Stolers. He's the author of Mastering Internet Video. You can find more about Damian at www.masteringinternetvideo.com and at his other website, robotarmy.com. You are have been involved with P2P before and also, of course, have a lot of knowledge about video and stuff. I just want to know what you... You think about BitTorrent, because I sort of kind of like it.
BitTorrent is very, very awesome. I was one of the white hat type developers. We were developing good, you know, noble or or sold out, however you want to look at it. Solutions. We were doing solutions to make Radio Free Virgin and MTV and what have you push their. You know, push their fully licensed content out to the masses,
mm-hmm.
and then using the swarm effect of sort of the just-in-time peer-to-peer network, and then that network would vanish when you were done.
Mm-hmm.
BitTorrent is much more like that. The second generation of peer-to-peer was all the Napster, where we're quote building a community, but really you don't need a quote community to have peer-to-peer work. You just need a lot of people going for the same content at once. Sort of like a flash mob. It's mm-hmm. like a flash swarm download, and then they all go away and never talk to each other again unless they download the same content. Is your question whether BitTorrent is cool, which I agree with, or whether that technology will survive in the end?
Yeah, well, that's the bigger question. I mean, there's a lot of interest out there in shutting peer-to-peer down, and it seems like it would be a bad thing overall for the long run.
Well, A, you can't shut it down, and I don't just mean because the hackers will get through. The peer-to-peer speaks the same language. Most of the peer-to-peer solutions out there are technically the same thing that would allow peer-to-peer work, would allow an online game to work, would allow web browsing to work through your NAT or firewall.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost impossible to shut down, and not just because of ingenious hackers, but just because it speaks the same language, the same HTTP protocols, the same TCP and UDP protocols. The same way that R2 if you look at instant messaging, that is peer-to-peer.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same technology. So
yeah, it is.
Shutting down peer-to-peer would be the same as shutting down instant messaging, which you know, we know those alliances are going on strong. So that's not going anywhere.
Yeah, it almost seems like that the government is showing how little they know about technology when they start talking about shutting things down like this. Because it does, I agree with you, it seems like more and more technology solutions are going to that peer-to-peer model, and it seems like the legislation actually goes after that. There's even talk about iTunes and the iPod being affected by this.
Right. Well, realize they're legislating. It's sort of like crime has a lot to do with intent, of course.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
What they really can only legislate against, they can legislate against technology, which is why technologists get scared. But what they're really trying to control is the intent or the use of these networks.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get stiffer penalties for using these, you know, there's already laws on the books to do it. But, you know, they can always intensify just like they did with encryption stuff. And it just takes – then what that usually does is it takes everyone 3 or 4 years to figure out what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the day a law is passed, no one knows what it means.
Mm-hmm.
It has to get challenged 3 or 4 times. So, those wind up being annoying sandbags in the development of technology at best and, you know, and an effective deterrent. I mean, but like I said, I've always been – I'm very – my own nature is to be very respectful of intellectual property and try and compensate people. I'm a software developer, so I have a strong interest in people paying or licensing the software and the IP that I generate. And on the other hand, you know, my daughter, I bought a DVD that's only available in Europe when I was over in Europe, and I had to figure out how to play my own DVD in the States so she could watch this children's show. So, you know...
Yeah.
On both sides of the technology, it can get real annoying. I mean, luckily, her dad happens to be a little bit well-trained in this area, and so she's able to watch it. But, you know, it's hard. They're trying to keep people honest through legislation, and you know, it slows down technology.
Yeah, it does. It really slows it down. Do you see the online video area moving more towards a download model, or do you think streaming is going to hold its own over time, or is streaming going to become more of a high-definition type of solution? It just seems like with the bandwidth growth that we're seeing online and what's being talked about, the future bandwidth is that we're going to be able to get files so quickly that streaming will be irrelevant. What's your thought on that?
I have very strong and well-developed thoughts on this, and I'll try and summarize them quickly. TV is an established model. Video on demand is a new product, right? I mean, if you look at the history, no one had video on demand until recently. You didn't, and then now you have video on demand. People looking at the internet want what they want when they want it, quote unquote, and so they would tend to be more excited about a video on demand solution.
Mm-hmm.
Also, video on demand, you don't have to deal with the lowest common denominator. You get as much as you've paid for your bandwidth, you get as much video as quickly as you can.
Yeah.
On the other hand, the democratization of people's ability to put up their own TV stations, I still view is going to be an intensely important part of our future. And I continually work on that. My own passion is to get TV up on the internet. And it keeps not happening, mostly because it's just not there aren't people with a week's worth of online content. I mean, this interview is a piece of audio content that put together with a lot of other audio content might fill a few days.
Exactly.
You know,
Whereas
you need 24/7, you know, to start a channel. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, as soon as the first person decides, I'm going to do my own cooking channel, I'm going to do my own this, that, or the other, and has enough production tools, which increase every year, right?
Yeah.
Now
a
sub-$1,000 computer has more power than 10 years ago you had in a TV studio in terms of a video editing capability.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get where TV is going to become interesting. However, TV uses way more bandwidth than on-demand right now, so you're not going to see people just leaving the light on, so to speak, and leaving, you know, hundreds of people watching their unremunerated TV shows and just spending bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
So my strong feeling is that in the future, but perhaps 5 years from now, you know, it's going to take a while. Think about what TV. There's still more TV than there is internet. And someone, I think I read somewhere, and I don't know how to attribute this quote, but someone mentioned that there is more data in terms of bandwidth sent over MPEG-2 transport stream than sent over IP.
Yeah, I believe it. Well, and also, you know, if you really think about what you're saying, is that it sounds like if an individual puts up a video station, basically, or a TV station of sorts, it wouldn't be a whole lot different than what we're seeing right now with the weblogs. I mean, people are putting up their own content. I mean, it's happening more and more, but is that... Do you see a correlation
there's
there between what's happening?
Right. The webloggers I just read in Wall Street Journal that, you know, a bunch of them got into the Democratic National Convention as legit journalists,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're using weblogging to circumvent the editorial that they had to deal with in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all sorts of pundits in this area say, well, it'll still boil down to 10 or 20, you know, pundits. That's fine because, yeah. Even though there's a weeding out, that just means that there could be 100 channels on the internet. So you would have the option of using one of these satellite broadcasts. But as soon as your internet bandwidth was good enough, why couldn't you have an online subscription internet
sure.
TV station?
Well, the big question is whether or not everybody's going to want to be on a video stream from their home, or they're actually going to have to brush their hair, I think, or get dressed.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the middling where you might have a station, you know, you might have a South American channel that in 5 years says, you know what, let's not build this infrastructure net, let's not license a satellite, let's put this straight online.
Mm-hmm.
Or especially in Korea, where just wired like mad.
Well, I like how you said it. You refer to it as a democratization, so there doesn't matter what your country or economic level or, you know, how much your economy can support.
And if you look at the fact that some countries, like Poland, a lot of countries are now starting with a wireless infrastructure where mm-hmm. they didn't have a wired infrastructure,
mm-hmm.
they don't build telephones right off the bat. They just build a cellular network.
Mm-hmm.
And there may be situations where people don't bother to build a traditional television broadcasting setup. They just go, well, we're going to have internet anyway, so let's go straight there. My long-winded answer, which I tried to keep down, was yes, I really see a strong overriding future for live. And one other reason is because, once again, here's one more data point on it. At the beginning of the internet, there was a question whether the content provider or the consumer was going to determine what a web page looked like. And the first version of HTML mm-hmm. was all about you customizing how you get the text and graphics. Well, that all went away, and HTML was completely rewritten so that it was basically a desktop publishing language,
so that a
content provider could give you the exact experience they desired. The same thing is going to happen for video.
Mm-hmm.
Disney wants you to have the exact experience that they have prescribed, exactly marketed. You know what I'm saying? You downloading and watching the content on your own time is not what they want. They want you to watch it how they want it, when they want it. And so streaming is a way to keep the content on their servers, not on your client machine. And I think that's always going to have that's always going to be interesting to a technologist.
Mm-hmm. Well, plus there's also software tools that are coming out like Sirius Magic. I don't know if you're familiar with that software program that enables you to create almost like broadcast quality video right on your desktop that you can, has encoding capability, all stuff. It's stuff that, I mean, the software we've used over the last couple of years, and it's really enabled us to produce a lot of videos with, you know, like the green screen whole effect thing.
Teleprompters?
Yeah, teleprompter and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
It just, you know, it just seems like those kind of tools are going to grow and be something that people use maybe to communicate more with their family. I know that's what this tool is used quite a bit for as well.
Right, and you know, you look at the various Macintosh technologies that keep, like that democratization I keep talking about, that bring, you know, with their iLife package, you know, you can edit your. Just this morning, I took something, made a DVD of it, and it just made a super high quality DVD, and but it required a few buttons, whereas mm-hmm. I could have done that 3 years ago, but it required a whole bunch of screwdrivers.
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing is going to happen for. Green screening, for every piece of studio technology, it's going to turn into a $49.95 purchase at your local retailer.
Yeah, well, I think it's already happening.
Yeah.
And then also the other big piece of this, too, is storage. I mean, it just, you know, it's one thing that since we've started working a lot more with video, you know, we now have, I think, 600 gigabytes of hard drive space in our network here in our studio. And it's just so we can support video. Is what
right.
It is.
I know a lot of people at colleges. Yeah. They're very proud of their terabyte.
That's right.
Because it only takes 4 hard drives to get your terabyte now.
Yeah, that's true.
And you build a terabyte RAID. Oh, yeah, we got a terabyte RAID here. It's got all our MP3s on it. You know, and it's, you
soon, know that. Soon it'll be who's got 2 terabytes, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Or well, really, I think I have a 0.5 terabyte on my 2 machines, you know, on my desktop,
right,
just because of the video, and you need a lot of it for the DVD.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, DVDs right now, right, are 4 to 9 gigs.
Mm-hmm.
And before, it would have been like, oh, well, how could you possibly have a video jukebox?
Yeah.
Now, people are like, okay, in my car, I want to have all my movies. I don't want a DVD player. I want, you know, all my hit movies.
Mm-hmm.
And once you take a DVD and strip off all the, you know, the disclaimers and welcome and the crud, it may only be 3 or 4 gigs. And so that means you can fit 100 movies on a good modern hard drive. So, you know, storage continues to march on.
Well, and with Microsoft rolling out their portable media center and a lot of these mobile devices that are going to have hard drives that play video, it's an exciting time.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm very excited about getting as soon as there are video cameras with hard drives.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm waiting for, like mad.
Oh.
Like an HD camera,
yeah,
sub
right.
1000,
mm-hmm,
with a laptop, you know, 80 gig hard drive that I can just record. That's I'm dying for that.
Yeah, have you heard, when are those coming out? I mean, it seems like the technology is there right now to do it. I know that they're making some that are using, I think, storage cards right,
right
now.
Right, solid state is very easy, but the iPod has shown that people want the extra space.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as fast as you make your solid state, you know, and as cheap as you make your solid state, you know, your top-of-the-line iPod has 40 gigs, and you're only going to get 4 to 8 gigs of solid state flash memory is,
yeah,
what I'm talking about. So,
yeah,
so people, hard drives, mechanical as they are and as fragile as they are, people still want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're starting to come out with these micro hard drives now. So,
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how quickly those grow in their capacity. You know, I think there's one that's like an inch in diameter or something like that that stores like 1 or 2 gigs.
Yeah, like because IBM had one. It was 340 that was flash format, and
mm-hmm,
then it came out with a gig, and now it's got a 2 gig.
Yeah.
I just wish I could shove my iPod into my Sony camera. They just should talk. It should
That's
just.
That's right. There's a lot of people trying to force things into the iPod right now, and Reels is one of them. You know, they're trying to shove their music files into the iPod now, and they've successfully done it sounds like.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's new. That's news to me.
It was just actually in the news this past week, so.
Listening to you two is so funny. It's just like
right.
You're
giddy
excitement
with
over
the technology.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, I've got a 2-year-old, and so I'm doing a lot of photojournalism these days. And, and you know, I'm always running out of battery and reinserting tapes and then spending a long time taking the fire.
Jeez.
You know, it's close, but it should be like iPod where I take my video camera.
Yeah.
If it gets near my computer, the video should just jump onto the computer
and tapes
press itself
pain.
To a DVD and email and mail itself to my relatives. So.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the middle of a conversation with Damian Stolarz. He's the author of the book Mastering Internet Video. More with Damian in a moment. You're listening to Web Talk Radio.
You have probably heard about the 3 big online threats we face every day when online. They're talked about on the news all the time and on web talk, like unknown spyware and adware that may invade your PC. Spyware tracks your keystrokes and harvests passwords and sends this info to criminals all over the world. The other two are online identity theft and spam. But have you actually done something about these vulnerabilities on your PC? I'm very excited to tell you about a sponsor offer that is for web talk listeners only. A very special package that cannot be beat that will keep your PC safe and secure. You may have heard about the folks at Anonymizer Software, and they are offering a 3-pack software bundle that includes Anonymizer 2004, Anonymizer Spyware Killer, and MailShell Anti-Spam Desktop. And that is a complete and total privacy solution and will clean up any and all of your hidden problems and make your computer invisible on the net. Being a listener to the show, and thanks to the folks at Anonymizer, you qualify for a $40 discount on the $90 software package and get the complete Anonymizer bundle for only $49.95. All you have to do to get the discount is visit getprivatenow.com and enter my first name, Rob. And that is getprivatenow.com and just enter my first name.
It's all about convenience. Serenade Audio is a revolutionary new service that's redefining the MP3 player listening experience, allowing you to listen to what you want, when you want, anytime, anywhere, at your convenience. With Serenade Audio, you can download Web Talk Guys, plus over 300 news, talk, sports, and entertainment programs are available as well, and they can all be downloaded to your MP3 player with just one click. Easy and convenient. Now, for a limited time, when you sign up for Serenade Audio, you'll receive over 100 music channels for your PC absolutely free. To learn more, visit Serenade Audio on the web at serenadesystems.com/webtalk.
Hi, this is Rob Greenlee of Web Talk Radio. I've got a tip for you. If you're looking to register a new domain name or get a new website hosted, then support the Web Talk Radio show by visiting web.com. They have been a trusted name on the web for years and have had over 300,000 customers over the years. They specialize in domain name registrations and hosting, but they have a domain name registration as low as $4.95 per year, and that's for a yourname.web.com domain name. And they also have regular .com domain names for $6.95 per year. Web.com was recently ranked number one by tophost.com and CNET certified as being a top web hosting provider. Their hosting plans are as low as $7.95 per month, and that's even for an online e-commerce solution. So trust me, web.com is a great place to get your solution, and you can give them a call at 1-800-761-2468. That's 1-800-761-2468, or just visit them right on their website at web.com. Web Talk Radio is back. I'm Rob Greenlee, and I'm here with Web Girl Dana.
And still on the phone with us is Damian Stollers. He's the author of Mastering Internet Video. Well, Damian, you're obviously a thought leader and an expert and a company CTO, but I want you to put on your consumer hat for a minute.
Absolutely.
And the father of a two-year-old. And tell us what sites that you particularly like that maybe congregate some interesting online videos. Anything you can recommend?
Actually, no. In terms of online video,
there's that much content online, huh?
There is so much, and it is super fragmented. I mean,
yeah,
that's
it is.
Part of why I wrote this book. There's no search engine. I've seen a couple gimpy little, to use the term, quote, search engines for video.
Singing Fish is about the only one that I can think of that's really any good. Yeah.
And Google isn't even touching it because it's not mass market
but
yet.
But I've heard that they're coming out with something very soon.
Right, and they have their R&D labs always working on that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But here, you have to have a search engine that can actually look inside videos, slurp the metadata. It's so, even though compute intensive, right, you have to have artificial intelligence algorithms to actually look at it. I mean, you and I can watch a video, and then it would take us actual work. It would take us a half hour to write all the keywords and metadata necessary to search that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
My favorite is if you go to archive.org, the Prelinger archives.
Yep.
That is one of the most interesting and thick, it has all the archival ephemeral footage from, public service announcements from the 50s and 60s and mm-hmm. 40s and 30s. Very interesting video.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most interesting from my perspective.
I actually didn't realize that. I'd go there to look at old web pages, but yeah, they do the whole...
Oh my goodness, it is so rich. They have terabytes and terabytes of just incredible footage that people are using to put together documentaries and but understand this is an IP litigation rich environment, so it is terrifying for people to try and put any video online. I know that I'm putting up a TV station just for my own demonstration and putting it up on the website for the book, and my attempts to get rights-cleared content have been so difficult. I don't know how many conversations I've had with my college friends, my film school friends. Oh, yeah, I'll get you some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to get some stuff. Or, Joe did a college film, but he's got, a Beatles song, so it's not.
Yeah.
There's no way he's going to get rights clearance for his student film.
Yeah.
There's just gobs of content out there that can't go anywhere because... I mean, I need to write the next book, which is, IP law for getting your stuff. But understand, it's if it was hard enough for us to figure out, and text was its own thing. So now people have pretty much figured out how much text they can crib from a website without getting in trouble and
mm-hmm.
how much they can quote, and that's all worked out. Video, first it has to happen. Then we need some lawsuits, and then once the smoke clears, people will feel safe putting stuff up. So
the Napsterization of internet video, right?
Is that
basically what you're saying? Yep.
Now, I do have a comment on that Napsterization. If you want to hear it, sure. That it's just the one data point on that I've seen is if you think about the use of video and the use of audio, people download a song, put it on an iPod, and play it hundreds of times.
Mm-hmm.
People download a movie, watch it maybe twice,
yeah, that's
and then throw it away. So it's just important to differentiate how people use these. They're almost marketed the same way. The video has a bigger box than the CD, but they're basically $17.99. And it's like, well, why would video be the same price as audio? Well, the audio you get a lot more use out of. The video you get to watch once, maybe put it on your shelf.
Mm-hmm.
If all you're trying to do is get cheap entertainment quickly and you're not a collector, then, you know, you could just watch a low-res version that somebody did a videotaped in the theater and see whether you want to go see it in the big screen.
Yeah, that's true.
So your Napsterization of video is going to happen in a different way. However, some of the most interesting content, and this isn't just, I'm not just a pro-piracy shill. Some of the most interesting content to me will be archival footage, will be historical. Apparently, my grandmother was on a game show in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad has asked me like 10 times, hey, if you could ever figure out how to get a copy of that. Well, it's in someone's studio, it's in someone's archive, and they could recoup, you know, if it was like $59.95, I could go buy it right now, I'd do it. But, you know, the packaged goods. So that's another avenue for, once again, for the movie studios to just proactively not be Napsterized, go out, put their content online, figure out the IP. They own most of that anyway. They don't owe any royalties to anybody for most of the TV stuff.
Yeah.
Put it online. Do a TV land, downloadable format. Chop it up. Do whatever you want with it. But you could extract so much money that way if it was there.
I agree.
Getting them to understand that. And this is easy for us as technologists to say. When you're a business person and you got quarterlies and you're trying to figure out a product that would sell to millions, because everything has to pass a millions test. There has to be an audience of millions and millions.
Yeah.
There has to be a provable market. Well,
lot of the mass media mentality that's becoming less and less relevant, though.
So then you invariably play catch up because you have a niche, because you realize it's only tens of thousands of people, maybe not even hundreds of thousands, who are downloading and enjoying movie content from the internet. And what do? But one of the funniest things was, like, people are trading shows like, you know, cartoons, and anime is a great example of where people are just, they're really crossing, they're solving importation issues. They're solving distribution issues. The product isn't available, and they're solving it through digital means.
Exactly.
So it isn't theft. It's like, how do I get this from here to here?
Well, and there's actually people that are capturing segments of things and then creating something totally new out of them. You know, I mean, you're seeing a lot of fan sites come up online that are developing new content but integrating
like X-Files things. You know, that was big
existing
for a long
content.
Time.
Yeah,
right. And to some degree, that was pioneered by rap. And some degree it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So you have all the sampling lawsuits of the late 80s, early 90s, where it's like, how many bars of your song can I put in mine? Do I need to get clearance?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get the same thing with video, because people are going to incorporate video rampantly and then put it online. And then Lucas ran into this a few years ago when they were on the fan Star Wars movie. And he kind of looked the other way and went, okay, you know, it promotes my movie, go ahead.
Yeah.
If to any other company, if you did something like that,
yeah.
Oh my goodness, you'd be so in violation of their IP, it wouldn't even be funny.
Yeah.
But they understand it's homage, and they have to, yeah. So
they have to decide.
Yeah. So that anyway, but it will be Napsterized in a different way. But it's a great point to make.
Yeah. Damian, it's been great to have you on the program. Why don't you tell us how and when a person can get your new book?
Well, great. It's available through, you know, all the standard avenues. And I have an accessory site, masteringinternetvideo.com, where I'll have links to buy it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and what have you.
And now you have your own website, robotarmy.com.
Yeah. I have a variety of websites because I have two companies that I started. So robotarmy.com is my own site, and that's my consultancy. And it's I do all sorts of video-related projects. I'm working on some open source peer-to-peer streaming initiatives, and I'm working on some Swarm downloading products that, you know, I'm fully under NDA, so I can't discuss. But, you know, I'm basically still in this game, heavily doing doing technology in the video delivery arena. And I'm also speaking at Streaming Media West.
Oh, you are?
Yes, yeah, okay. Streaming Media West. I'm speaking at O'Reilly's Mac OS X conference, both of the same week in October. Mm-hmm. And they're, and both of those I'm discussing. One is content solutions. And at the OS X conference, I'm discussing how to use QuickTime streaming servers to basically watch your TiVo while you're at work. I have a rig up where, you know, you're at work and you're like, oh, I got to stay late. Well, if I could just flick on the show I was going to watch, boom, you can just tap right into it. So there's all these sort of, in terms of the streaming, there's all these very legal uses of video, which is basically space shifting or time shifting, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. which these technologies can be, they're completely turnkey. And you're like, maybe it's totally not okay for you to broadcast HBO to all of your close friends. But if you're just broadcasting it to yourself, that's totally fair use.
Yeah.
And so that's part of what I'm demonstrating at that conference.
That's interesting.
Well, thank you, Damien.
Well,
this is fantastic.
Great.
Absolutely.
Definitely check out Mastering Internet Video by Damien Stolarz. Thank you, Damien.
Oh, thank you, guys.
We've been having a conversation with Damien Stolarz. He's the author of Mastering Internet Video. He's been sharing tips about how to create and use internet video. You can find out more about his book at masteringinternetvideo.com and also at the publisher's website, that's www.informit.com, and then just do a search for the title Mastering Internet Video. Unfortunately, it's all the time we have this week for the show. We really hope you enjoyed it and get out there and use some of the tools and information that you've learned today.
And thank you for letting us into your ears and lives this week. And we'd like to have you back with us next week. So go check out our website and visit some of our archives at webtalkradio.com. And we appreciate you listening and joining us. We'll see you around the net.
Thank you for downloading the Web Talk Guys. Bookmark us now for next week. Same Web Talk Guys time, same Web Talk Guys channel.